I was body shamed and a lot of usual stuff that happens to fat people. And it took me like good 6 years to be in the position that I am today.
All about creating a passive income through content creation. This is the Adjective Content Creators Podcast with your host Kunal Naik.
Hey, today we have with us someone who helps B2B businesses generate leads on LinkedIn. He has worked on more than 200 plus videos and wears multiple hats while creating them. He's an avid runner and wet roads do not stop him from doing his daily running. So welcome, Nikhil, to the Adjective Content Creators Podcast.
Thank you so much, Kunal. Thank you so much. I really loved the intro.
And I stalk a lot of people here.
That's great. That's great. Thank you once again. And finally, we are here. I mean, a lot of back and forth, but it's really good to be here, I feel.
Yeah, and common problems like back.
Yeah, so it's a weird start to the day. Like, I went for my run and I tripped. I don't know, for the first time in my life. And yeah, now I feel you more. Yeah. Earlier, I understood your content and everything, but now I understand more about your life.
It connects us.
Absolutely. It connects us. It does.
Nikhil, so today we want to get to know you, your decisions, your ways of how you got into the content world and how you are helping B2B businesses generate leads. And so we'll go right to the start, where you did your bachelor's in management studies. Mm-hmm. How did you choose this course? And what was your journey like from college to joining Hotstar as a video operations? Okay. Right. So what was the content in the course? And like, how did you really go about being a video operations executive?
So it's been a very fun journey, to be very honest. So a lot of people don't know this, but I had applied for CA. I'm a commerce background student and I did my 11th and 12th from HR College, that is in Bombay. Mm-hmm. And like every other town kid, I was enjoying my life, and then suddenly with peer pressure and you know, a lot of people doing CA, I was like, okay, let's try it. But one of the major reasons why I also wanted to do CA is because my role model was a CA, so I was like, okay, cool, let's try it. And I did go and attempt for my CPT, and I was like, okay, I wasted my entire 12th standard vacation and went ahead and, you know, like attended all the classes. And 5 days before the CPT, which is common proficiency test, I was like, dad, I don't want to do this. And he's like, you would have rather chilled and enjoyed all of this time rather than, you know, like studying so much. So right. I'm like, yeah, man, now like this is what it is.
Correct.
So that happened. I went, I still appeared for my exam. I gave the exam, and then later on I was like, this is not something that I can do.
Correct.
And that happened in May sometime. In that year, I don't remember the year exactly. I guess it was 2011. And I was like, okay, I need to find something that I can do. Mm-hmm. And then media was something which I was very inclined towards. Like, since my college days, I was always into fashion shows and a lot of active participation in events. So that's what, you know, got me into BMS, which is Bachelor's in Management Studies. One of the other major reasons why I took BMS was because it had mathematics only in one of the 3 years, and that too in one semester. And I used to hate mathematics to another level. I still hate it. Like, if my boss Adi would someday come and be like, you know, can you solve this invoice, I would have fever on that day. So yeah, that is one of the silly reasons I took it. And yeah, BMS was pretty cool. Okay, like we had that hip crowd and we were like those Gen Z guys during those days.
I'm sure, everybody had the same energy of being in front of the camera, yeah, or doing something creative or doing something different, you know?
Yeah, and I went there and I was like, I'm not the only one who's been, you know, coming from a different background. I had people in BMS from science and arts and all other fields. So I'm like, that's cool. Nobody's judging me here. So that is fun. So I got into BMS in MMK College in Bandra. That's where my journey started. I was always inclined towards events because that was something which was, it's a broad industry. It's a very huge industry. And I really wanted to, you know, explore that field. That's when in my second last year of BMS, which is like, after a year of my first semester, my second semester, one of my friends from my previous college who was doing BCom, he reached out to me and he's like, you know what, I am looking forward to getting into a business. Would you be interested? I was like, yeah, sure. What business are you talking about? That's when he, put me the idea of Rolling Rides Media. So we were into events and we did night clubs.
You are the guys who organized that late night and...
Yeah, so we were the guys who did all this guest list and stuff. And during those days, we had BBM. So BBM was damn crazy, okay? Like, we used to have this crazy amount of list and, you know, contacts in it. Like, I had, like, good, like, 500 contacts at that time. And that was, like, crazy.
That time itself, that was, like, some amount of marketing. Like, you have a lot of leads. You have a database, right? And you're sort of getting a stint of all of these experience that back then itself.
I can tell you. It was a gold mine. even if you had like two relatives out of which one was a party goer, your life was sorted.
Wow.
Because every Friday evening he would be like, bro, can you sort this? And I would be like, yeah, cool. But just because you're family, I'm gonna charge you this much.
but you still get it.
I would still get it. And in all his mannerism and shame, he would not ask me how much is he paying, but I would just take the market price. But those are the days, those mischievous days of life.
And then that is the time where pricing and all that you learn to hack, you know, like you.
Obviously, yes. I had a motorcycle at that time. I had to fill in my fuel, chill with my friends, have some tea outside and stuff. So I needed my pocket money.
Correct, absolutely.
So yeah, those days are different. So yeah, getting onto the topic, we got into that business and we slowly, steadily getting in, you know, got a gist of it, got a few good clubs around in Bandra and Bombay. And we were two of us and then we had one more guy joining in. I'm not been taking names. And he started slowly doing things. We were always at a break-even point. We weren't like earning too much, but we had created a good buzz around.
Correct.
We wanted to do a big event, but somehow my partners screwed up in between. And they like got into some mess, which was costing the company at around 4 lakh rupees during those days.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, fuck, what did these guys do? Like, what am I going to say at my place that these guys owe 4 lakh rupees?
And I know it's like sweating. The first time you ever encounter...
Goosebumps. Yeah. And I was like, dude, my life is going to be screwed up. So the client was somehow, I was very, very, you know, open about all my things. And I've always been open in my business. Or any kind of transactions which I do, even if it is at work or personal or anything. So that guy trusted on me. He's like, I'm pretty sure you have not done anything. Because these two partners switched off their cell phones and everything and ran away.
Correct.
And I was the only one who was standing. So he's like, I trust you. So somehow it's a very weird story. But yeah, that's how we ended the entire thing. Moved out of it. So I learned a lot about events from there. Even though those were not like really those events, but that's how I learned marketing, business,
hustle,
socializing, the hustle. And those late nights and, you know, trying to study and managing and, you know, covering up all the nonsense that other people do.
Right, right.
So that is how I finished my education from Bachelor's in Management Studies in MMK.
Correct.
Once I got done with that, I started looking out for jobs. A lot of my friends were doing MBA and everything, and I didn't have that money, clearly. Correct. Nor did my family have
right,
that.
Right.
I was always inclined. At the end of BMS, I realized, you know what, I had to do BMS.
Correct.
Because that is Bachelor's in Mass Media, and I wanted to be a media person. And then I shifted my line again.
Correct.
And my parents were a little concerned that, you know, within 3 years, this guy has changed two fields already.
Right, right, right.
and a startup also. So I was like, okay, cool. This is what is happening. So after BMS got done and everything, I was like, I should have been in the BMM sector, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. I started working at an event company. And that's my first job. I had a shitty boss, okay? He was so abusive. And
ones that we see in like TV series and all that.
A proper Delhi boss. A proper, proper Delhi guy who like...
Alu Bengan bech raha hai at times.
He was like, bro, like I'm telling you, matlab, if you come 5 minutes late because it was raining cats and dogs in Bombay, he's like, ye koi time hai aane ka. And I being a newcomer and all, I like, okay, put my head down and sit. That's one life lesson I learned. Never be quiet or underestimate yourself.
Right, right, right.
Don't disrespect anybody, but give an answer when you know that you're not
correct,
wrong.
Correct, correct.
So that job was very shitty and I ran away from there. I didn't even put my papers and stuff like that. And that somehow I worked for a month, took my salary and I just like left. After that, I struggled for a while. I was doing odd jobs. I was working in shopping malls. I was distributing pamphlets. I was doing a lot of things.
Right, right.
And then I went and researched a bit about Xavier's Institute of Communication. Mm-hmm. Okay, XIC is an amazing, amazing institute.
Okay.
Like you've got 120 students who are allowed to do one course at that time. Like one period of 9 months. Only 120 students, 60 students are Indians and 60 are foreign students.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. And I was like, dude, this is my dream. It is still my dream.
Correct.
College. And I went for my exams. I gave my entrance and the entrance was fun because they asked you like a lot of creative stuff. Like, you know, which logo belongs to which company and why do you think that, you know, a tall person and a short person can create a good brand? So all of this amazingly crazy questions were there in those exams. And there's no syllabus. They can ask you anything under the sky in terms of media and marketing and creativity.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, let's check it out.
Wow.
I was waiting, waiting, waiting. Somehow my name came in the last list. And I was like, okay, fair enough. My name has come. And I went and like 3 months back, my brother told me that he wants to go to Canada. I was like, oh shit, if he's going to Canada, how are my parents going to afford all
Correct.
Of this? So I was like, shit, I'm going to shoosh myself down.
Oh.
I have to just be here.
Oh, no, no.
So... life lesson to never give up on your dreams.
Wow, wow.
So I like, and I didn't have the guts to even take a loan for 2.5 lakh rupees. I'm like, okay, fair enough. Like, end of story. So I gave up on that and then I started looking out for jobs.
Oh, okay.
I was working in something called as Mahesh Tutorials. It's a very well-known tutorials branch or a company in Bombay. And I guess all over India right now. And I started handling their branch and I had these students coming and making my day. And I used to like be an admin person over
Correct.
There. So I did a lot of odd jobs. But my goal was clear. I wanted to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so one fine day I went for an interview in Star India.
Mm-hmm.
this opening was through LinkedIn. And I was like, cool, let's try it. I went there, and so here's the strange thing. I was approaching a friend for a job, and he used to say, I'll do it. And he used to work in Star India too. But he would never revert back to me. Okay, so I was like, okay, fine. I don't want to take anybody's, you know, how do you say it?
Ehsaan.
Ehsaan. I didn't want to take the ehsaan of anybody, and I was like, nahi chahiye, yaar, chhod do, main khud kar lunga. So, ek application aayi, and I was like, theek hai yaar, chalo dekhte, jo hoga, dekha jayega. Whatever it is, I went there, I gave my interview. Those guys are like, it is a scheduling job. Scheduling as in like the amount of TV shows that goes in on television and Star India. You have to look into that. It's going to be a night job also and all okay. of that. So there's something called as the FPC.
Okay. FPC. Okay.
Yeah. So that is a term that they use in broadcasting.
Okay.
The full form is I've forgotten about it.
Okay. No problem about this.
So that's what they had a job about. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I have to do this job somehow. Like, I had no other alternative because I had to fill my pockets and my family
right,
also.
Right.
Because I knew in a year my brother would be going.
Right.
So time was ticking, and I was like, okay, I'll get back to you in a while. So I went down, I was going to the parking area to my bike, I saw my friend in the smoking zone. So he's like, hey, what's up, what's happening? I was like, good man, you tell me. So like, how come you're here? He was surprised to see me there. I was like, there was an interview, I came in. He's like, I was trying to call you the other day and you didn't answer. I was like,
अभी ऐसा थोड़ी ना होता है।
हाँ, मतलब हमारा तो ऐसा भी नहीं कि कोई पोस्ट वाला आया हो, पोस्ट किसी और के घर पे दी कि क्या, फोन तो मेरे पास ही है, फोन बच तो जाना ही चाहिए था अभी तक. So he's like कि अरे मेरे मतलब बॉस के अंडर एक ओपनिंग है. So like ठीक है, talk, you know, you can speak about it. So he's like पक्का, हाँ like हाँ पक्का. So he's like ये देखिए मेरा बॉस ये बाजू में ही खड़ा है. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, he's just standing here, talk to him. And out of nowhere, my ex-boss started talking to me. My ex-boss started talking to me. So he's like, what do you do? I was like, I do this, that. You know, I gave a brief about my past and my experiences and etc., etc. So he's like, your friend's name is also Nikhil. Your name is also Nikhil. This guy is very lazy. How are you? I was like, you know, just give me work and I'll have it done. Just don't keep me empty.
Okay.
So he's like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm a zillion percent sure about it.
Okay.
So he's like, do you get ashamed in doing, you know, any kind of work? I was like, as far as it will fill my pockets, it's okay.
Okay.
So he's like, I'll give you 2 weeks to think about it. I kept calling him every 3 days, sir. सोच लिया करना है जॉब करना है मुझे आई वांट टू डू इट लाइक डजंट मैटर हॉटस्टार का नाम लग जाएगा यार आई वाज लाइक डूड दिस ब्रांड हैज टू बी ऑन माय नेम
ओके
एंड दिस वाज माय टिकट इनटू हॉटस्टार बिकॉज़ ए आई वाजंट अ पोस्ट ग्रेजुएट या एंड दे नीडेड समवन
ओके
आई वाज लाइक कूल दैट्स वेयर आई गॉट इनटू हॉटस्टार ओह मैन
दैट
And Hotstar was like only 6 months old, baby.
Oh. So you were like in the initial days of Hotstar.
Yeah. And I was like one of the few youngest employees at Hotstar.
Wow, man. Amazing up and down story. And a couple of things I really noticed that at all points, right, you had a personality trait that was very consistent with throughout the thing, right? Like right from standing up to your boss, the first boss, you know, and then even before that, standing in front of the person, the 4 lakhs, right? Your friends switched off the mobile, but you stood there, right? Then again, you know, friends not responding, but you're still like consistent about it. You're trying. All of these points, there are some personality traits that are there, Nikhil. how did you come to, you know, gain this knowledge? Like, these are really essential skills to like continue to strive to do something and to make something out of your life, right? But at the same time, you could have gone to the other side also, done some other bad thing also. But no, you chose to do things in a way that propelled you towards certain good things, right? And how did you maintain that or sustain that? What inspired you?
So a lot of people may not know about this. I was really fat. Okay, I was like 120 kgs.
I couldn't tell. It's your profile picture is like, you can never tell.
Yeah. So I was body shamed and a lot of usual stuff that happens to fat mm-hmm. people. And it took me like good 6 years to be in the position that I am today. Wow. From like being fat and weird and stupid and not being able to do things to like narrowing down to doing TV shows. I have acted in a few shows. In fact, I've been a few ads at for Hotstar. Okay. And I saw the world turning down when you put a lot of efforts and you change. But that was not one of the reasons why I try hard. It's because I want to do it. I was given a task of handling 120 episodes a day at Hotstar.
Wow, 120 episodes a day. And yeah. Handling by handling you mean what
means so I used to manage all of these things from different production houses, from our vendors, and ensuring that it hits the platform at the correct time. Yeah, and I was like, dude, whatever happens, I'm doing this shit. Because it made me learn one thing. It made me come out of my comfort zone. And I after 2 years, I was very burnt out. I did put my papers down and my boss was like, rethink about this. You know, you've come a long way. And I was like, okay, I'll think about it. And after a week, I started again. But the fact is, I developed a team. I had vendors who were working for me. I had editors who were working for me. But I can tell you one thing. I knew literally zero about video. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what is a stereo mix audio and a mono mix Correct. Audio. I didn't even know what a TC is. And then realized it is time code and not take Correct. Care. So I was that blonde in video. But I learned. Okay. I never stopped learning.
Right.
And I'm not bored of doing monotonous things also, because I would find better ways of doing things.
Right. And this is something you and me have in common, right? I definitely mm-hmm. always pick out the monotonous tasks to do it, because sometimes it's meditative. But while you're doing those tasks, right, you get a lot of ideas and you will realize that so many of these ideas wouldn't have come if you did not do that monotonous task, right? And so I have that craving. Even now I do certain tasks which are repetitive in nature, which sort of puts me in the zone. But you're right, like this task really, really like test your strength and also give you that mile to go and have some patience while doing work, right? Not be agitated or get anxious about doing trivial tasks.
Yeah, like a lot of my colleagues would get scared of doing data management. Yeah. Okay, and I was like, if I can do this thing in 2 hours and these guys take 6 hours, that means I have more 4 hours to do something else. Which I wouldn't tell these guys, but I would learn it. Mm-hmm. And then I would be like a hero and be like, oh, wow, I can do this shit. Y'all don't know about this.
True.
So that kept me doing, that let me, you know, keep doing new mm-hmm. stuff. That let me understand that, you know what, if you take more of responsibility, it will help you grow more in your professional life. It will give you an upskill.
Correct.
Yeah. When 2017 wasn't really a good market for the entire world, a lot of financial constraints were there at that time. And considering all of that, I still got a promotion when the company didn't give a good raise to literally 2,500 employees. Mm-hmm. And I got like a 50% raise plus a promotion. Correct.
So that said a lot about how much they value you and how many skills you picked up and learned because you had that intent.
I know, like, if I go to count about that, I learned how to even dress well at Hotstar. Wow. I learned how to like manage content. I learned how a backend works, okay, how an MNC works, and how to receive a promotion letter from the CEO of that company, who really invites you in person. And he sent me a handwritten note. Mm-hmm. So, and his name is Ajit Mohan, and Ajit is like, mm-hmm, he's so amazing. His thoughts and his processes and the kind of humble person he is, it's really amazing.
Absolutely.
So that made me learn a lot of things. And my previous boss has also been in Star India since past 18 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So he's had his own set of journey, and I've learned a lot from him. Even if it was like we walking till 2 o'clock in the night, the next day morning he would be he'll be in office before me. So that showed that, you know, work is good, but
your manager is also setting the bar very high.
Yeah, but I was like, dude, I don't want to be this workaholic, so it's okay. Let him join first. Exactly. I need to maintain a balance.
Right, right. And that's true. I mean, what an interesting point. Like, I always used to wonder, like, if you look at the boss, right? You would naturally, inspired to mimic your boss in whatever ways, right?
True. Right. A lot.
But you took a stand and said, look, I want to make my own schedule, right? And and similarly, even I am the person who wants to make my own schedule. Like, I don't want to, go into the rut of everybody is doing this and I will do this, right? No, it needs to work for my body cycle. It needs to work for my mental peace.
Exactly. Right?
And you chose to do that very early in your career, I see that. And how did that happen to come by? Like, what was it?
You know, a lot of people always used to think that, you know, what if you go for parties and stay up late with your boss, it's really cool and he's going to get a lot of attention. So I'm someone who doesn't drink, smoke, or even does not eat any non-veg. Right. So it was very difficult for me to blend in that kind of a corporate atmosphere. But I would always be upfront and honest about it because, like, sorry, I don't want to be a part of it. It's just as simple as that.
Correct.
It's if it is not something that I love, why do I do it? Mm-hmm. If you enjoy that a drink for a night, I'm happy for you. I can sit there for like half an hour, have a good conversation, and then I can go home and do my
stuff.
Correct. And I used to make sure that I leave my workplace at 7 o'clock, no matter what, so that I can be in my gym at 7:30. Mm-hmm. And then it's okay, I can work one more hour at home. But I ensured that my health is in place. Mm-hmm. And that one good thing, I always kept it. I was like, no matter, and if work was getting extended, I would be like, no matter what, let's push the things a bit here and there, but let's follow it. But obviously, there are times when work is necessary. And I used to be like, you know, there'd be like a week where I've put in everything to launch a new product.
Correct.
Or a new project.
Right. Do you think at this particular like junction, you like you're exercising and your like desire to reduce weight, or is this the period that was happening, or was it at a different period?
No, it was very early. Like, it was in the year 2013. So as soon as I joined my junior college, the journey started for my personal growth.
Oh, okay.
And when I was at Hotstar, I was in a very pretty well shape. In fact, till the time when I was leaving Hotstar, I was so burnt out because we were transitioning from Hotstar to Disney.
Oh, okay.
So there was a lot of work and stuff. And that time I had completely left my workout and stuff.
Right. So I think so. You got that habit of like exercising, and you built that discipline, right? Of exercising, and you know that okay, if you're not going to exercise, then things are going to be in bad shape, right? So I think so. Do you think like that discipline has been carried out, like even today, no matter and sort of helped you guide your decisions, the discipline for your health?
Absolutely. Okay. It doesn't matter where am I. even if it is that I'm traveling in Toronto with my brother, or if I'm in Dubai or anywhere in the country or in this world, my dinner is simple. That is one chapati and curd, no matter what.
Okay.
I'm very disciplined about my diet, no matter what. If I have to eat one chapati in the afternoon, it's not going to be more than
correct.
And the day, even when it's a cheat diet, I ensure that I eat only what I like, and that too in a limited amount.
True.
So I'm way too, strict about my
health.
And my routine. Yeah, my routine is something which I, because that's what keeps me happy and sane. True. Right. If that main building block of my life is, not stable, it's going to cause a huge issue.
Correct. Absolutely. And I truly, relate this with you. I was 26 when I started building my habits, mm-hmm. exercising, yoga, and meditating, journaling. I did a lot of things before I found what my routine was. But once that routine was set, there is, a lot I can do within the day. And there's so many things I can do. When somebody else looks at it from the outside, right? I feel it's easy, right? It's easy. But when somebody looks at it from the other side, right? They feel, how are you able to accomplish this thing? And my response would be like, dude, just get up in the morning, do workout and simple things, right? But it doesn't resonate with them. Absolutely. How is that?
Exactly. A lot of people ask me that, you run 10 kilometers, you have a cup of coffee, then you sit by the sea, and then you come and start your work. How do you do it? I'm like, I get up at 4:30 in the morning. That's how I do it. That's the simple freaking answer for it.
Correct.
And then they're like, oh my God, you're doing this also, you're doing that also. I'm like, it's just the laziness that you guys have. You can sit for 1 hour on Instagram.
Correct. But you can't just run.
You just can't go out in the nature.
Correct.
I'm not even saying to run. Right.
Just walk also. Yeah. Simple walk also.
I can tell you with guarantee, morning sun heals.
Correct.
Period. Like literally.
I know. I'm just looking out to just go out in the morning and look at the sun rays, Take it, soak into the day, and then start off.
I mean, my heart and well wishes go to everybody from my group. I have a very lovely group, and it is my family. And I started running in 2019.
Okay.
And September 2019, I met this lovely man who is an elder brother to me today, Kishore Bhai. He introduced me to more three amazing people, Jigna, Janvi, and Pushpa. Okay. Bhai. These four people are my family. They've been with me in all my ups and downs, and no matter what, even if it is a lockdown, even if it is not, whatever is happening, every morning we are meeting each other, showing each other our faces, having a good cup of coffee, having a good run, doing a half marathon together. Correct. Doing everything. Uh-huh. Since the past 3 years, we've been in our thick and thins, and all I can say is when you have the right set of people also with you, your motto, your goal towards reaching somewhere, it goes to another level.
True. I completely agree. Like, you are like your, the average of your environment, right? And like the moment you change, like you True have man. Your group, right? You're automatically like rising to your potential because of that group, right? They're all potential, and you cannot miss a day because you're not feeling like, right? You have to show up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we've fallen in love with each other, and we're like, even if we miss one day, they're like, kya ho gaya re, kyun nahi aa raha, like, why do you not want to come right now? It's okay. Yeah, they'll be like, don't run, it's okay, just walk.
Correct.
And once you go there, then be like, okay, let's do a fast 5K and come out. Like, bro,
correct. This is a similar thing I tell to a lot of folks, where look, if you can't do it for if you have to do exercise, matlab you can do five push-ups also, right? You can do just 1 minute of meditation also, right? But tick that day somehow or the other, tick it for that day. Like, don't miss a day. That's the criteria.
I mean, that's so true. If you follow one thing, made be even just reading a book outside in the sun. It's going to do a lot of healing. I remember this guy from our college. He used to dope a lot. Okay? Uh-huh. It's a very interesting story. You can cut it out. If you
No. This is perfect. All natural part of life.
Yeah. So he used to dope a lot. Very nice human being. I still know him very well. Okay. And one fine day, I read an article about him on one of these amazing Instagram pages. And I was like, dude, how did you land up in this? So he does sun gazing.
Oh. And what is that?
Okay. So sun gazing is looking at a level of looking at some level of rays of sun by sitting at one place, ideally near the seashore, and you just constantly look at it and you gaze at it. Actually, that's sun gazing. Okay. And that heals. It heals to certain levels of several health issues. And that's where I learned. I was like, dude, there are so many things that nature can do and we are just sitting at home and sleeping.
Correct. Okay.
I started off with my morning routine from the journey of cycling to running and now doing everything in the morning. Now, like if somebody tells me to meet them after 10:30, I was like, buddy, I can't do this. I'm so sorry.
Just the other day, I was speaking about, how does your day begin? I said it begins in the night. If you do your night well, your sleeping ritual well, your morning is just going to go as it's going to be a breeze. You're going to get up in time. You're going to do everything on.
Such a good line. Such a good thought. True that.
And you 10:30, you shut down. Like everything is completely off and you're already excited for the morning. You know, I'm excited for my mornings always. Like I want to shut it down early because I want to get up in the morning.
I see. I know that is like, I mean, I have to be asleep, in bed on time so that I can do what I would love to do in the morning.
Super. I would definitely want to come with a run with you, Nikhil, whenever I'm
most
in,
welcome.
Whenever I'm
most,
in Bombay.
Most welcome.
Absolutely. So, switching gears, Nikhil, now you've like worked in Hotstar and then you. There was the transition period where Hotspur was transitioning to Disney, and then you felt a little bit of burnout. And so, next steps, you also started doing freelancing, right? And was it like you working on your own, or is there a group that you're working at Pocket Aces?
So after Hotstar got done, when I finished my tenure at Hotstar for good 4 years. I shifted and I took a break for a while. I went traveling. I went to Himachal. I took a nice bike ride for like 45 days. And after I got back, I had 2-3 offers in hand. Either I had the opportunity of again slogging and doing something very difficult, or I had the opportunity of starting something new. And whenever I saw something new, I was like, let's do this thing. So Pocket Aces was looking out for interns at that time to look out for production work.
Okay.
So I was like, this role is very fun, but I don't like the title because considering where I come from, I don't really wish to be titled as an intern. I don't mind doing anything because I am never ashamed of doing things.
Yeah.
Because that will help me grow. And whatever makes me grow,
you're doing that.
It's a good thing. It's a learning for me. So they were kind enough. Pocket Aces is a really, really creative agency or a company right now. And those guys know a lot of new things, right? Mm-hmm. And I went to their office and I was in awestruck. I was like, dude, this is where I wish to be.
Correct.
I met really lovely people over there. My boss was sweet enough to give me the title that I wished for. Uh-huh. The kind of work that I showed after like 2 weeks, I remember they let me handle almost a lot of things.
Yep. And from Pocket Aces is the company that has Filter Copy, Dice, Gobble, Loco.
Yep. And so I was handling Loco and Toying. So I was doing 2 shows for them, live shows. Wow. And it was a very, very great exposure. Like I met several amazing anchors. Those anchors turned out to be friends with me still now. I speak to them. Uh-huh. And I learned a lot from teenagers who were joining from college and how they have a journey. I knew teenagers who are so, you know, so creative and so independent that, you know, they had their own Instagram page with like good 40,000-50,000 followers.
Correct. Wow. Wow.
So I learned a lot that it's not necessarily to be in an MNC and not try out a different place in this world.
Correct.
Because when you're in an MNC, you play that safe game.
Yeah,
you know? You're not being creative. You're not going in that, you know, wildfire and doing something.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I can say that, hey, you know, don't open that window, you know. MNC people can say, don't open that window. Hawa aa jayega.
Haan, mat karo. Barish mein bhigoge to tum pighal jaoge.
Yes, yes. That feeling. So, you know, it's liberating to not have that feeling.
Yeah. And I went there and I then, so my boss and my manager and everybody, I was like, I want to experiment this. And they were like, okay, fine. You can do the scripting also. You can do this also. You can do a little bit of research. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can do all of this, but I don't have a laptop. Give me some resource. They're like, come early to work and, you know, sort this off. I was like, okay. Freelancers ki zindagi mein aur kya hi chahiye? Jaldi aa jata tha office.
Correct.
2 ghante ke shoot ke liye 1 hour early aa jata tha. I'm like, okay, I will slog my ass. And once that got, so somehow they wanted to like shift their business from the quiz game to what do you say, gaming.
Correct. Okay.
So they did offer me a, you know, full-time position after that. But somehow I was like, you know, ki chalo yaar, ye freelancing mil gaya to thoda time rest kar lenge and I'll try something out later on. So yeah, that's the fun part. In January 2020, that project got over and I left that thing and they did give me an offer and I respectfully said that, you know, I need some time to think about it and, you know, if you could give me another role that I'm looking for, I'd be more than happy.
Okay.
So things didn't, you know, get aligned. And I was like, okay, chalo, it's January 2020. We'll just like took another break, went to South Goa. The first time in my life I went to South Goa, explored an amazing place. South Goa is pretty. I haven't seen something so beautiful in my life.
Correct. Wow. I should go there.
Yep, you should. The beach, Agonda Beach, is the most prettiest beach you'll ever see.
I will definitely.
You'll see dolphins literally while you're standing near the seashore, bro. That is how pretty that beach is.
Yeah.
And literally, matlab, you'll say, ki boss, main Bali mein ho. Har Indian ka hota na, ye to lagta hi nahi India hai, wo haal ho jayega.
And my friend stays there. He got married to a Goan. So his lockdown was in Goa. And he...
Lucky friend.
So he's calling me like, come over. I think so he's settled I'm there only.
Please go there.
So that happened and you were like...
Yeah, so I was like, you know, I'll get another opportunity. Jahan ye bhi mil gaya, so we'll find something else. But in March, the starting of March, all of these COVID news and everything started flowing around.
Correct.
I was like, boss, this is high time. I was predicting there's going to be a big issue. At least in the job wise, not considering that, you know, there'll be so much of an issue.
Correct.
So I started applying on LinkedIn like mad. Like I was applying for like 10 jobs in a day, then to like 30 jobs in a day to randomly reaching out to anything and everything. Mm-hmm. There came a time in the first week of April, I was last of March and first week of April, I was literally reaching out to anything and everybody on this planet.
Oh, okay.
And literally no one was replying me. So like, you know, 70% didn't reply, 30% were kind enough to reply. And everybody was like, once the lockdown is over, then we'll think. I was like, yeah, lockdown is going to be there for like 3 months. What am I going to do at home?
Okay.
18th of April, 17th night, I reached out to Adi Suja.
Oh, okay.
And I got an instant reply from
okay.
you. And I was shocked.
Okay.
I was like, dude, this entire world is not replying. How is this buddy replying
correct,
me?
Correct.
Huh? I was like, kuch to ghapla hai. मतलब दया कुछ तो प्रॉब्लम है इस जगह पे
दरवाजा तोड़ो
दरवाजा तोड़ो आज एक बस इसमें कुछ तो प्रॉब्लम है एंड ही वाज बीइंग नाइस ही वाज बीइंग जेन्युइन एंड ही प्रॉमिस्ड मी दैट आई कैन स्पीक टू हिम इन अ डेज टाइम एंड हैव अ गुड कॉन्वर्सेशन द नेक्स्ट डे आई हैड अ गुड कॉन्वर्सेशन फॉर 40 मिनट्स अंडरस्टूड व्हाट ही वाज वांटिंग आई गिव माय ऑनेस्ट रिव्यूज And he's like, he needs one day to decide and get back to me. 18th afternoon, we had a call. 19th of April in the evening, he reached out to me with an offer letter. With a random figure which I told about salary and he agreed. I thought all of this is going to be a joke, so I'll just like bluff it up. And he agreed.
Oh. Does Adi know that?
And yeah, he knows it. He knows this
okay.
thing. And I was like, okay, and the next day I'm at work and I am heading the video department.
Wow, and that's how you
my journey has started
as a video.
So video journey of mine has started from Hotstar days. Like, I was doing a lot of things over there, you know, like when I say video part, so you know, Hotstar didn't have everything digitized.
Correct.
A lot of content which was available with them were in old format of video, which is DV cams and other formats. So my process started from the actual video part, which is, you know, converting an old video into digitization, uploading it to a server, ensuring that all of this has been, you know, done correctly. Then came the other part of video, which was editing.
Okay.
Now there is simple editing, which is, you know, that you look at a video and you're like, theek hai, isme se, you know, remove the starting slate, ending slate, just adjust the volume, add a transition, and you're done. Then the second kind of editing is when someone tells you what to do in this, which is the CBFC, which is the Central Bureau of Certification, film certification. So there are movies which are 20 years old, which had CBFC certificates, which were torn, and you couldn't see what the edits are. And I had to literally go to this government site of CBFC, find the CBFC, download it, explain it to the editor. There were like 120 edits in one movie.
Correct.
Matlab, remove this bad word, adjust it with something else, add a smoking ashton, add this. So I used to do all of that with my editors. So
I use a tool called frame.io where I put the video there and I keep giving my comments, right? And the video editor looks at those comments, edits it and sends it back, right? That workflow is really amazing. Do you use any such tools, or back then you did it all like explaining methods?
Explaining, because imagine this thing, because those were old movies, okay? There's something called as cementing joints. There was chroma in it. There was no audio issue. You know, there's literally the guy's talking something and there's no audio in it. Matlab, uska ambience hi aa raha hai khali, uska dialogue audio hi nahi hai. And we found out things from here and there. And we had one more crazy project, which was 300 movies, old movies of Asianet.
Okay,
Malayalam movies. That was the time of my life. We literally took cotton, kept it on the DV cam film, cleaned it, and then put it in the processor, then got it uploaded in digitization, and that's how we did content.
You were the person that revived hundreds of thousands of movies.
No, so we had a team, we had a vendoring team who used to do it, but I learned all of that.
Yeah, but you had to pick up the process, you led that initiative.
Yeah. Me and my boss used to do it. He used to first explain me. We explained them what is to be done, and it was so much of fun to see all of this and do all of this.
Too good.
And this is not it. When all of this was going smooth, then came the original Hotstar content that came in. So I used to not do only Hindi content, right? I used to do Bengali. I used to do all types of South content, Tamil, Telugu, Malayalam, Kannada, everything in it. Bengali, Marathi, English. So I knew everything from that part. So we started doing dubbing.
Oh my God. where things are leading you, you know?
Yeah. And I used to do dubbing when I used to handle projects. So it used to be like, if my voice has to be dubbed in for, say, in Marathi. So we used to find someone whose voice is exactly like me. I mean, nearing to me. And then we used to give it to random 10 people and be like, you know, do you think this voice is suiting to Nikhil's voice?
Okay.
And then get their reviews, get the dubbing done, ensure that all the content that is the original raw footages and audio and everything is restored, given it to the correct people. Then the remixed files are available at the correct source. Then all of this happened. And then they were like, we want to do subtitles.
That's another issue. I'm still battling to do it. And you're like, okay, bringing out all the pain points of videos one by one. You know?
Yeah.
Pehle editor se baat kar lo, pehle saaf kar, pehle usse pehle clean everything, then editor ko
exactly.
Dubbing, then you're doing like subtitling. Oh my God. So what did you like?
So for subtitling, it was a crazy project. Okay. So I didn't sit and subtitle anything, okay? I used to initiate these projects and then the team would do it. But subtitling was something which I never got into it. I always started managing the entire workflow.
Correct.
But when I heard the number that we have to do 10,000 hours of subtitling, I was like, boss, ye ja kar raha hai. Matlab, itni pictures jayegi kahan pe, log dekhenge kyun isko? Like, I had Kashmiri movies, I had French movies, I had German movies, I had Turkish movies who have literally not seen it. And we were subtitling all of that content, and we had to find people who could speak good Farsi, who could speak all of these languages and then do the subtitling. And all of this was crazy.
Wow. And
amidst all of this, there was content leak, which was the biggest issue.
Oh my God. My God. You're like laid down all the aspects of a video production thing. You know, I have a workflow where I have to share small videos, and in that I have to do subtitling. So I have a small tool. If I just put the video there and I select the text that I want to do, it'll stitch it together and it'll produce that video.
So I usually use Headliner over here with our team. It's a very good app. Even if you have anything which is less than 1 minute, you can have it auto-transcribed along with it getting burnt down on your video.
Correct.
But if you want to have something more than 1 minute, I guess there's a paid plan that will help you do almost till more than 10 minutes.
Oh, nice.
And it is very accurate. It's like 85% accurate.
Correct, yeah.
And it does different languages. That's the best part.
Yes.
So that is one good thing. So the biggest challenge, which I would say, is when I shifted from an MNC to an agency, you have to do everything over here by your own.
Comfort to gone.
Comfort. वहाँ पे तो ऐसे था कि भाई साहब आपने दो लैपटॉप तोड़ दिए तो आप महाजन हो, आपको तीसरा मिल जाएगा. यहाँ पे तो कुछ भी तोड़ा तो खुद के पैसे देने पड़ते हैं. वहां पे तो ऐसे था कि इफ यू आर ट्रैवलिंग फ्रॉम डेस्टिनेशन ए टू डेस्टिनेशन बी, यू कैन हैव एन
रीइन्वेस्टमेंट
अलॉट. या सो आई डोंट वांट टू पॉइंट आउट ऑल ऑफ दिस थिंग्स, बट या फ्रॉम एन उबर प्राइम टू एनीथिंग दैट यू आस्क फॉर. सो आई वाज लाइक, ये तो पूरा चेंज हो गया. So over here, I was like, subtitling karna, I will give it to a vendor. I'll find you a cheap vendor. Adi was like, boss, sab kuch he loves. I was like, okay. So finding tools and getting all of this has been fun. So getting back to the topic of, you know, you telling us that you use a software called as frame.ai, right?
Yeah. I use frame.ai. Okay. Which tool do you use for like, tag?
So I use the tool called as Human Touch.
Oh, okay.
The Human Touch is me always coordinating with the editor so that the editor doesn't do a lot of rework. And I always believe in giving them a lot of personal touch, because understand the fact that an editor is always in front of his system.
Correct.
or his her system. Okay, and they get, you know, right, how difficult is it? एक फ्रेम भी स्लिपेज हो गया आपका एक्सपोर्टिंग में, आपका पूरा वापस से 20-25 आधा घंटा खराब.
I know that's one of the, like shipping 40 videos in a year required me to be explicitly calling out the processes, checks. You can go a lot of wrong, you can have a lot of things wrong, you know. One mistake is there, again you have to export everything, cut it and export everything.
Exactly. Right. Imagine this used to happen for 3 hours of movies.
I know.
मतलब छे-छे का transport में निकल चले जाता
है। मैं
तो मतलब मुझे तो दया आती थी वो editors से, वाला यार भाई साहब तुम्हारे तो हालत खराब हो गई।
Correct. Yeah.
Because one more thing which I used to do, which was live events. Mm-hmm. So I've done Lakme Fashion Show live. I've done Hardwell live. That was the biggest live event that Hotstar did. Obviously not considering sports, but yeah, and we had Hardwell over there and we were managing the live streaming, so managing live content was also fun. So that was one
part. I always wonder, like, how does editing happen there, like, or you just let everything go?
No, there's something called as the CC room, the camera control room. In the camera control, there's a room which is there, the production house room, there's someone called as a CC, which is the camera controller. The camera controller has all the screens in front of him of all the cameras that are being played, like being addressed upon the event.
Okay.
He has a switcher in his hand. He or she has the operator has a switcher in his hand. Whenever they see that, you know, this scene is good, he'll click one.
Okay.
And that scene is going on. If he clicks on button number 3, then the third camera is on.
Okay.
So they keep shuffling. If they see, there's some issue going on over here, he'll quickly change that scene.
Oh, that's how they do it.
Or if there is a sudden riot or something, he'll be like, okay, this is masale wala news, let's switch
it.
So wahan pe switch kar dega. Okay. And at the same time, when all of this is happening, there is something called as an SNP, which is standards and practices. These people are lawyers, corporate lawyers, or you can say content lawyers who've been trained to, you know, vet content which is acceptable to the Indian audience.
Oh, wow, this much is going so on. I never really knew this.
Yeah, so this is all that goes on. So there's one person who is always there vetting content. Oh. And if they say, oh, you know what, so this had happened, someone was holding the Indian flag ulta. And this SNP lady caught it. She like, boss, ye scene immediately delete karo, nahi to bahut bada case ho jayega.
Okay. And so there are people who go back and edit that.
Yeah, so jo live mein chala gaya, wo to chala gaya. That you can't do anything. But the replay and the snippets and all of these teasers and promos jo jayenge, usme then they rectify.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And you see these live matches are going on, then there are scrolls playing below. The match has been delayed by 15 minutes due to rain. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you will say, we apologize for the inconvenience caused.
Correct, yeah.
So if there is some profanity or anything that has been shown, then they have to send an apology scroll also.
Oh, okay. So all this.
Or they can just directly put a disclaimer slate in that scene.
Wow, man, that is too many things happening. I'm very content with just making a YouTube video and putting it there on my channel.
Exactly. But it's good to learn all of this.
Yes. It gives you that wisdom and you know, that expertise to take any video content live.
Yep.
At a certain point, you get an eye for things, right? Like, you are the lawyer, you are the editor, you are the scripter, you understand things, right? And and then when the live product goes out, it's amazing, because you know all these small little factors are just playing to get that product online.
You feel really proud after seeing all of these things, but not really everybody knows the kind of hustle and bustle that you have to go through. You know, during Diwali and all of these days are literally the time when all of these shows and so-called things are working the most.
Correct.
So you work n number of holidays and all of these things.
Correct. And so now, I'm very curious, like, because you worked a lot of on long form videos and dubbing and all that thing, but with the Growth Club, with working with Adi, your videos are short. Mm. They need to give a punch. Mm. They need to generate leads. They need to send a message across in under a minute or 3 minutes, right? So now your experience from long form videos to short form videos, how was that? Like, how did you start? Like, what are the things that you've picked up in short form videos that you think will be very helpful for anybody who's trying to do this kind of marketing?
So one of the biggest thing what people try to, you know, not understand or misjudge about is that, you know, short form content has to always be in a certain flow.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah, people are scared that, you know, they may not be able to get what they are trying to do in that first attempt. Mm-hmm. You know, that they'll be like, "Arey, usne isme intro dal diya, toh we also should put
correct,
it.
Correct.
He kept a signature, so I will also add it." Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it is not the video quality or the, you know, kind of music that you're adding, but the content of that video that matters.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah, Gary Vee can do a video for 5 minutes and people will still watch
it. Correct. He's like, but every line mein he has a punch.
Correct. So you need to have that hook in that video. The eventual 3 seconds to 5 seconds is what plays for the entire video.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah, and that is that first thing which I learned at on LinkedIn and when I started working for Adi. I was like, see, for the eventual even 10 seconds, first thing is that the video player of LinkedIn has an issue that the player is always on for 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. And you cannot see what subtitles are being played down.
Correct. Okay.
So you need to place the subtitles at a correct position. And also on the web, at least for 3 to 5 seconds, nobody puts on the audio. They don't unmute it. So eventually, whatever you're playing in the start shouldn't have too much of wordings.
Correct. Okay.
It should have certain graphics or something that are very catchy.
Okay, so that after 3 seconds, then you can load up the
yes. So you can have something like, you know, stop scrolling, or something like, you know, a big ass subtitle being played on that first 5 seconds.
Correct.
So that way a viewer is inclined to stay there. That is your hook. Mm.
And then you deliver on the hook.
Then you deliver the entire content slow and steadily. But once you've, you know, engrossed them into it, then you can take it slow and steadily.
Correct.
So one of the biggest issues coming back to the topic was, I used to believe that, you know, the video quality has to be very nice and everything. But on social media, it's okay if, you know, certain elements are a little shaky in it. It's okay if the fan is making a little bit of noise in it. Mm-hmm. It's okay if the light is a little dim. I'm saying when I specify everything little, it has to be little and not that it should be completely not taken into consideration.
Correct. Okay.
So I had that thing that everything has to be perfect. But sometimes you have to adjust, see how things are, and then deliver the content.
Absolutely. I started not doing perfection because I could not produce so many videos. So I thought, let me just focus on the context and quality, and then let everything else take back seat so that I can produce number of videos, you know. So
no, but we all think in different ways, you know. Like Adi had this fear of everybody has this camera shy behavior.
Yes.
So I learned this from Adi, you know, whenever he was on team calls, nowadays he keeps his camera open.
Oh, okay. I do the same. I do a lot of training and I always have my camera on. It's much better.
And that way you get rid of that fear.
Correct.
And when I met him in Goa after like 9 months, for the first time that we wanted to record content, he was extremely confident.
Nice. I saw those videos.
Delivering.
Amazing. Yeah. He just walks up and he's just delivering it.
It was so natural.
Yes.
It has become very easy for everybody. And also when you shoot and when the person who's shooting also should be very encouraging.
Correct.
You should motivate the person, but you know, like, You know, it's okay. You can fumble 10 times.
Don't hurry the process.
Yeah, don't be like, "Arey, abhi fumble ho gaya na yaar, editing mein time lagega." Then that person will be like, "Oh shit, I'm under pressure. I have to do it this way." Give them the freedom when you're recording.
Let them make the mistake.
It's okay. If you like a lighter shirt, wear it. If you think that, you know what, this place is not looking nice for you, there is crowd for you, let's do it somewhere else.
Give that person the confidence. Like, let his confidence flow within.
So once he does 4 or 5 videos, he or she will do 10 videos, then you can tell her that, you know what, now that you've gotten to the film, let's attempt it. Let's do something more creative.
I mean, pehle let's let that person's fear go out, right? Then do micro changes.
Yes.
Like, aisa nahi ki, you know, in the first video itself, you're like, ye correct kar do, wo correct kar do and all that. No, it doesn't really apply. How many things will you do?
Exactly.
First, the confidence he has to build. Then he has to change your feedback also. It will not happen. It will never happen.
Exactly. That's when we started video, I was telling Adi also and anybody, I'll like, first let the content come in. Enjoy it. Listen and see what all can be done in it. Don't compare ki yaar iska video itna sorted tha to hamara kyun nahi hai. So thoda usko samjho, then you take it forward.
Very, very.
Kunal, I have a surprise for you. Adi is also
absolutely
wanting to join.
We're talking about Adi and Adi joins in. Hey, so we have Adi, Nikhil's boss, joining us for this particular time, and he's come in at the right time where we are just speaking about his experience on video making and being in front of the camera and showing that confidence, but more than that, also converting a lot of using video to get a lot of B2B leads. So welcome, Adi, and thank you for making time for this and joining us.
Happy to be here, Kunal.
So Adi, please tell us about your journey before you being in front of the camera and then you being in front of the camera and showing all that confidence. For some of those clips that you made on LinkedIn, they were amazing. So what was your before state and what was your mental game that you took to come in and show that confidence on those videos?
Okay, so this is going to end up like a before Nikhil and after Nikhil scenario, because before Nikhil joined the team, we did not have a video process. When we actually, like, say, we were looking at ways to, like, say, start a video process, not just for us, but also for clients, specifically video content for LinkedIn. The data was clear. We were sure that video content, like any platform, video would become a huge driver on LinkedIn. So if you take a look at any of the other platforms like Instagram, Facebook, you can notice that eventually they switch to video. And right now, most of the amount of content that is consumed on these platforms is in video. Great. So we understood that eventually LinkedIn would switch to this. And being a LinkedIn agency, we had to make the switch sometime.
Right.
So we were pondering over this, like, say, not sure how to approach this problem, when Nikhil just one day messaged me out of the blue on LinkedIn. And we got him talking. He gave me an idea of, like, what he was doing. And he had some good experience. So over the past 3 months after we hired him, we just worked on creating like a proper structured video process. Mm-hmm. And then he brought in his contacts in graphic designers or editors. And slowly we started ideating videos. There was a mental block that I had to overcome, mm-hmm. To like get in front of the camera. Because, like, say, especially when you're targeting a foreign audience, we all have this belief, especially Indians have this belief,
right,
that, okay, are they going to think an Indian dude, not authoritative, like, say, will I be able to send to US clients? When it's through text, you don't think much about it. You just have to make sure that it's polished and it's well written, right?
Right.
But when it's video, you're showing another side of you. And that can be a bit daunting. Right. So there was a mental block to get over, but we just trusted to an extent in the process, in the belief that the content would be valuable enough for those who saw it.
Right.
So, So even today, like, say, we have partners. So, for example, some of the clients or partners we work with, they prefer to do unscripted videos.
Right.
But I feel I'm not ready enough to do unscripted videos. So almost all of the videos are scripted. I think that brings proper structure into the process. But at the same time, I understand how most of the creators who create, like, say, short bite-sized videos are doing it in an unscripted fashion.
Right.
So, yeah, and, we're not there yet. We're getting there.
But, you know, as you can see that the video process, you saw the potential, but there is, a method to this madness. Like, for example, you're going to show small videos, right? And they generally need to give that consistent message across to the audience, give that cohesive message in various different forms. So how do you plan for those things also? Like, you know, small little messages, but overall, your messaging for your client goes out the same way, no matter which small piece of video that goes out. So how do you take care of that process?
Okay, so in the end, I think it comes down to the individual elements that we have in each videos, right? I think Nikhil can like explain this better, but I'll explain from my perspective. It's all about the small elements that go into the video. So everything from like, say, if you're doing it for a company, like say a promotional piece of content talking about something, then it has to be branded for that company. You need to have a logo animation that you display. You need to have or a signature of the person who's pushing out the video, or kind of like a teaser video. We used to create teaser videos as well, but kind of like a teaser video that explains what you do, or a collage of like, say, or a compilation of different videos where you're speaking and stuff like that, so that you can portray that brand of what you're trying to convey.
Correct.
That is one element. The other element is basically the body or the intro, like say the way in which you had the hook at the start of the video so that you keep people on, keep people watching. These are other elements, individual elements inside the video. And I think apart from, I don't agree with the point that you need to have a lot of elements, like say add a lot of production value and stuff like that into videos to make it engaging. True. I think it's all about making the meat of the video really good enough so that you hook people.
Correct.
And you keep them coming back for more. To an extent, it's all about, like, say, the platforms where you publish video as well. So if you take LinkedIn as a platform, it's very important that we find out ways to get people to come back and watch, like, the future content that we're putting out.
Correct.
On YouTube, it's just the subscribe icon. Every single YouTuber just says, okay, click the bell icon and click the subscribe icon. We don't have anything of that sort on LinkedIn. Even if, like, say, suppose somebody follows you on LinkedIn, chances are they may not watch the next video. In my opinion, like, say, in scenarios like that, the best way to do it is branded as a separate piece of content. So we have something called the LinkedIn Influencer Show, where we create a video and we offer something for free. Cool. Even the videos, some of the videos that you checked out on my LinkedIn, we share something for free. And the reason we do that is we want them to enter our funnel via an email list.
Correct.
So that eventually we can keep nurturing them with more and more videos, right?
Super.
Less intrusive strategy would be to get them to follow a hashtag so that we can continue to hit them with more videos that we include that hashtag in. Now, this is another element. So I think it's the right combination of all of these elements that actually create a good video marketing strategy.
Super. You just laid out a small little blueprint for all those who want to create video content and rock it on LinkedIn or any other platform. And thank you for sharing that that context, Adi. Adi, one more last question. And Nikhil, you can... happy to jump in on this particular thing before we end this and take it to the finale. So now video, what do you see the potential of video? Like, we are at a state where, you know, LinkedIn began promoting videos back then, but now it's sort of toned it down. And how do you see the future of videos, not only just limited to LinkedIn, but other platforms? And what are some of the things that, in your views, are going to be helping clients, you know, leverage video to get leads or whatever marketing objectives they have?
I think the first statistic that I came across about video marketing was back when I was doing my first job. It was like, say, about 4 years ago now. And the statistic was talking about how a majority of web traffic was going to be video traffic. So that meant not just for businesses, even for like, say, every single kind of website, it was going to be video. And that just gave me a picture that, okay, this content format is going to get catapulted. It's going to overcome all other forms of content that we're consuming. And eventually we need to get into the space.
Correct.
But I think, like, say, the biggest problem of most content creators who actually want to get into video is this restriction about, like, what will people think when they see me on video? That question that pops up in the head.
Correct.
And it's just a mindset issue.
Right.
So these days, like, say, I prefer to switch on my video, even if this is a podcast recording, I have my video on.
Right.
But that is because I have the mindset right now, or I'm going to train my mindset right now that is not a concern. Right. I should be comfortable in my skin, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that mindset causes a lot of problem. And the second thing is getting into a habit, making it a habit. Like say for any form of content creation, you have to make it a habit. Otherwise it's not gonna happen. Like you always will have more important stuff to do.
Correct.
And I think if the future is clear, video is going to become the most viewed content format in the future. Now that is clear. The stats point that out. The only restriction or the only hurdle that content creators need to overcome to get into video are, I think, these two things. You don't need like a proper production system or a proper process for these
consistency.
I think that these were the problems. It's all about consistency, making it a habit, mm-hmm. and getting over this having this mindset that it's okay to not look like this, like a well professional with a professional setup and like a fancy mic and stuff like that. These things don't matter.
Absolutely.
What matters is that you take the initiative. The processes and the production value will come, and the audience will come in time. What matters is that you put in the time and have the mindset.
Super, super, super cool information from you, Adi. And I'm definitely, going to see and enjoy a lot of your content. Keep them coming. I was amazed by how confidently you just walked and you're speaking about the topic in hand. And, it was very natural. Good content. Thank you for sharing your ideas also. And Nikhil, I want to have few tips of advices from you so that we can close this podcast logically on your experience of creating these videos.
Don't underpay your video editor. That's the first thing. And don't compare a lot of videos. That's one of the biggest mistakes which a lot of people do, is that they look at like 10,000 videos and you'll have
absolutely
a million ideas after that. So have a clear focus and you then approach with that. And the third thing is keep experimenting. I've never seen anybody get into the first, get into video and be like the first video they did and it's going to be super amazing. That's literally not possible, because anybody who starts, you just have to start. Like Adi also mentioned, you don't need to have so much of production or all of these equipments and everything. All you need is just be yourself, record and be confident, and you'll get there slowly and steadily. But always never underestimate the power of researching and understanding things, because when I came from long form video content to short form, it was like a cultural shock for me. But I learned slowly and steadily. I understood what kind of the target market it is. What is the need of the consumers right now? What are the needs of the viewers, and what are they actually wanting to see nowadays? So it slowly and steadily comes when we start researching and understanding the market. As simple as what is the sizing of the video, to what kind of branding elements that you need to put in the video, and how to not make it Ranveer Singh and keep it very subtle. So that's something we need to
thank you, Nikhil, for sharing all of your experiences, your journey and your hustle to getting the salary that you asked from Adi. And together
I didn't give any numbers, just to be precise. Don't get me
so there you go guys, that is Growth Club. To you, we have Adi and Nikhil giving their best advice on how you can leverage video to meet your marketing objectives, no matter what it is. And they've laid out whatever you need to do to get started and keep that consistent video, churning out consistent videos to meet your marketing objectives. Thanks again, guys, for doing this. And
our pleasure. It was great to be here.